Hello, this is Janice Schweizer with the Pantograph for Tuesday, September 15th, 2020. We will begin with the headline article, Rate of Positive Test Declines in McLean County. Free mobile testing sites this week at ISU, Ferrero, USA, by Paul Sweech. McLean County's seven-day positivity rate, or the measurement of new cases as a percentage of tests for the previous week, dropped to its lowest level in more than 2 weeks on Monday. The positive development came as the county announced 24 additional cases. Additionally, residents will have even more options for COVID-19 testing this week, with two mobile COVID-19 testing sites in Bloomington Normal, along with McLean County's existing options. Statewide, public health officials reported 1,373 new cases and 5 additional deaths, bringing the state's totals to 262,744 cases and 8,314 deaths. The state's COVID positivity rate for the 7 days ending Sunday was 3.6%, according to IDPH. As of Sunday night, 1,431 Illinoisans were hospitalized with COVID, with 335 in intensive care units. The first of the state's two mobile testing sites opened at 9 a.m. Monday in the parking lot of the Illinois State University Alumni Center at 1101 North Main Street in Normal. It will remain open 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. through Wednesday, said ISU spokesman Eric Jome. The second will be open 5 a.m. to 1 p.m. Tuesday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Wednesday, and 6 a.m. to 2 p.m. Thursday, outside Ferrero, USA at 2502 Bike Road in Bloomington. Both mobile sites are open to anyone and there is no charge. These units are fanning out around the state. Certainly, this is very helpful, and we are appreciative of the state providing this service this week, Jome said. Extra testing capacity will be helpful to ISU and the entire community. While the normal mobile testing site is open to anyone, Jome encouraged ISU students to continue to use on-campus testing sites in Brown Ballroom of the Bones Student Center and at the former fire station at 602 North Adelaide Street in Normal. Those sites are open 8 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. Monday through Friday through the end of September. Students who use the testing site outside the Alumni Center and test positive for COVID should share their test results with ISU Student Health Services, Jome said. Federico Forti, Vice President of Industrial Operations at the Ferrero Bloomington Candy Factory, said the company's culture involves supporting communities where employees live and work. Helping to safeguard the health of our employees and our neighbors is important, and we are honored to work with local and state officials to bring this service to the residents of Bloomington, he said. Bloomington City Manager Tim Gleason applauded Ferrero for partnering with the state to offer the additional COVID testing. McLean County Health Department Administrator Jessica McKnight reported Monday that the county's seven-day positivity rate through Sunday had declined to 6.6% from 8.4% the day before. Because the county's positivity rate had consistently exceeded 8% during the past couple of weeks, McLean County was among counties on the IDPH COVID warning list on Friday for the second straight week. McLean County's cumulative positivity rate of the more than 61,300 tests of county residents conducted since March remained at 4.8%, McKnight reported. The new cases reported on Monday increased McLean County's number of COVID cases so far this week to 59 and since March 19th to 2,938. Included in that total are 1,412 people who are isolating at home, 17 more than on Sunday, 7 who are hospitalized, 2 of whom are in intensive care, which is unchanged from Sunday, and 1,501 people who have recovered, an increase of 7 from Sunday. In addition, 18 McLean County residents have died of COVID. The most recent death was reported on Thursday. Meanwhile, ISU reported that on Monday that during the previous 7 days, 65 students had tested positive on campus for COVID-19. Of 981 students tested for a positivity rate of 6.6%, a decrease from the double-digit rates reported in the previous 2 weeks. Since testing began on campus on August 17th, 1,383 students have tested positive out of 7,587 students tested, ISU has reported. That's a positivity rate of 18.2%. The rate had been in the 20% range. ISU President Larry Dietz has warned that students who gathered en masse early Wednesday at 3 different outside locations to see YouTube personalities, the Nelk Boys, could face consequences, including suspension. McKnight said on Friday that any possible COVID cases resulting from those gatherings, as well as from Labor Day gatherings, may not appear for up to 14 days after exposure. While ISU COVID results are included in the McLean County totals, they are not necessarily reflected on the same day. The university's daily reports reflect information from Reditis Laboratories, which performs the on-campus testing. The county numbers come from IDPH and includes results from tests performed at multiple locations. At the COVID-19 testing site at the McLean County Fairgrounds at 1106 Interstate Drive in Bloomington, 421 people were tested on Sunday, McLean County Emergency Management Agency reported on Monday. That testing site, open to anyone who can perform the nasal self-swab test, operates 9 to 5 daily, except holidays and except during severe weather. Livingston County Health Department reported that 10 additional people had tested positive, including 3 at Pontiac Correctional Center, bringing that county's total to 288 cases. Of the 288, 257 people have recovered. Elsewhere in central Illinois, Logan County Health Department reported 10 new COVID cases on Monday, bringing that county's total to 389, with 326 people recovered, while LaSalle County Health Department reported 13 new cases, bringing that county's total to 1,512, with 922 people recovered. Also on the front page today, we have City Approves Cannabis Dispensary. Beyond Hello to Open Bloomington's First Such Business. This is by Annalisa Trofimik. The first recreational cannabis dispensary in Bloomington city limits could open off North Veterans Parkway as soon as the end of this year. Bloomington City Council members, during an open session meeting Monday, approved a special use permit for Beyond Hello LLC to open a second adult-use recreational cannabis dispensary in McLean County. The council voted 8-1 in favor of the permit. Ward 3 Alderman Mboka Milambwe voted against the measure. Mayor Terry Renner was not present. The company currently operates a medical recreational dispensary in Normal at 501 West Northtown Road. Juicy Holdings, Inc., a global cannabis and hemp operator, brought the first adult-use recreational cannabis to county limits in May. The company also, in May, purchased property at 118 Keaton Place, with plans to renovate and open later this year as a recreational adult-use cannabis dispensary. The space was previously occupied by fast food restaurant Slim Chickens. We are just talking about mostly interior renovations, so remodeling the interior space and bringing it up to the level of interior design and customer experience that we really want to maintain. And on top of that, a plethora of safety and security features to make sure that we are being completely compliant, said Nathan Wang, Jushi's new markets manager. The Beyond Hello location in Normal was broken into in July. Police released a video with the timestamp of 3:09 a.m. on July 1st that shows a glass door being broken and three people inside the Beyond Hello at 501 North Down Road. Wang said if their construction schedule goes as planned, they could open the new location by the end of the year. The dispensary, formerly known as the Green Solution, was acquired by Jushi in January. A spokesperson for the company said they currently operate 10 locations nationwide. The Normal location has been taking online and phone orders to control the number of customers in the store to prevent the further spread of COVID-19. Similar precautions would be followed at the new Bloomington location. Depending on how things look by the end of the year or whenever we open our doors, it will probably look very much like what we do at our Normal location in terms of putting focus on online orders, doing curbside pickup, and doing everything we can to make sure we are keeping social distance and cleaning and sanitizing, said Wang. He added that the company plans to work with local officials to prioritize safety. In other business, council members approved a raise and contract extension for city manager Tim Gleason. Gleason first started with the city in June 2018, coming from the same position in Decatur. Council voted unanimously to award him a 3% raise, bringing his base salary to $197,000. The raise would be retroactive for July 23rd. An extension of his employment through July 2024 was also approved by council during the open session meeting on Monday. In local and state news, we have property taxes due soon. Deadline Thursday. McLean County reports 80% paid already, by Paul Sweech. The second installment of property taxes in McLean County is due Thursday, but at least 80% of the money that will be collected has been received. The September 17th deadline, 2 weeks later than usual, was set by County Treasurer Rebecca McNeil earlier this year to give extra time to taxpayers experiencing job and financial difficulties because of COVID-19. The first installment deadline, June 17th, was also 2 weeks later than usual. Payment options are at McLeanCountyIllinois.gov treasurer. McNeil urged taxpayers to mail their payment in the envelope provided with the bill, pay online, or use the payment drop box at the East Street entrance to the Government Center at 115 East Washington Street in Bloomington. Taxpayers may pay at some banks, but they should check with their bank first, McNeil said. Not all banks are willing to accept property taxes on our behalf. Taxpayers also may pay at the Treasurer's Office in room M101 of the Government Center from 8 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. on weekdays. But taxpayers who do so must wear a mask and follow social distancing rules, McNeil said. Interest will be charged per Illinois state statute at a rate of 1.5% on all second installment payments that aren't received or postmarked by Thursday, McNeil said. Taxpayers with questions may call 309-888-5180. McNeil told the Pantograph on Monday that as of the end of business on Friday, her office had received $279.3 million, or 80% of the $349.2 million that her office will be collecting this year. She said 98.3% of first installment bills and 61.7% of second installment bills had been paid. She anticipated that most of the $69.8 million remaining will be paid this week. Next is Senator facing tax charges resigns. Democrat Link held 30th district seat since 1997. This is by Peter Hancock with the Capital News. State Senator Terry Link, who was charged last month in federal court with tax evasion, resigned his seat last week. Link, a Democrat from Indian Creek, had been a key player in passing gaming legislation in Illinois, including a massive 2019 expansion bill that provided for sports wagering, added land-based casinos, and a Chicago casino. Link had served in the Senate representing the 30th District since 1997. He also served as chair of the Lake County Democratic Party, resigning from that post last month amid backlash from some within the party. The timing of Link's resignation from the Senate means there is not enough time to hold a special election to fill his seat. The deadline for that was Friday, September 11th, according to a spokesman for the Illinois State Board of Elections. Link submitted his resignation to the Secretary of the Senate late Thursday afternoon, and his resignation did not take effect until Saturday morning. That means a committee of Democratic Party officials from the 30th District will name a successor who will serve out the remainder of Link's current term, which expires in January 2023. I look forward to welcoming and working with a new senator from Lake County. We've got a lot of work to do for the people of Illinois, Senate President Don Harmon, Democrat from Oak Park, said in a statement on Friday. Link was charged in a criminal information document on August 13th with one count of tax evasion for allegedly understating his income on his 2016 federal tax return. In Chicago, we have U of I Hospital Workers Strike by Abdel Jimenez. More than 4,000 workers at the University of Illinois Hospital and its medical schools went on strike Monday morning after failing to reach a contract with the hospital. They include clerical, technical, and building and maintenance employees from the hospital and the university's four medical schools in Chicago, Peoria, Rockford, and Champaign. The union representing the workers, service employees, International Union Local 73, said they have been without a contract for more than a year. The union said they are asking for safer working conditions, adequate staffing, and wage increases. The strike is the second at the hospital in less than a week. On Saturday, more than 800 nurses at the hospital and its clinics went on strike after failing to reach an agreement. About 1,300 nurses were initially supposed to participate, but a Cook County judge ruled on Friday that some nurses in critical care units could not strike because it would endanger patients' safety. The Illinois Nurses Association, which represents the nurses, said that strike could last 7 days. As of Monday, the union and the hospital had not reached an agreement. Michael Zenn, CEO of University of Illinois Hospital and Clinics, said in a statement, the hospital was working with an agency to onboard more than 500 temporary nurses and other healthcare support staff to provide care for patients. Zenn said that of the 523 agency staff brought to the hospital, 32 are from states with a high number of coronavirus cases and none have tested positive. He said the hospital is requiring any workers from a designated COVID-19 hotspot to get tested before beginning work. The hospital went on ambulance bypass last week, meaning that ambulances were being asked to take new patients to other hospitals. Zenn said the hospital was not taking patient transfers from other hospitals, canceled elective procedures and surgeries, and was working with other hospitals in case it needed to transfer patients. In public safety, we have police are investigating reports of two unrelated sexual assaults in Normal, including one on the Illinois State University campus. Illinois State University Police Chief Aaron Woodruff said Monday that university police had received a report on Sunday about sexual assault of a female student by an unknown male that was believed to have taken place overnight in Watterson Towers. Additionally, Woodruff said, normal police received a report of a separate sexual assault that occurred overnight in an apartment in the 200 block of West Willow Street. These incidents are unrelated and remain under investigation by the ISU Police Department and Normal Police Department, Woodruff said, adding that no further information would be released because the investigations are ongoing. He encouraged students to become familiar with resources and prevention information available online. Two reports of shots fired overnight in Bloomington's north side were determined to be fireworks, police said. Officers responded to two shots fired calls, one at 11:53 p.m. Sunday at 500 West Chestnut Street, and a second call at 12:36 a.m. Monday at 1101 North Center Street, said John Furman, Bloomington Police Department spokesman. Police determined the reports to be unfounded and deemed them to be fireworks. Also statewide, we have COVID positivity rate declines over weekend. This is by Jerry Nowicki. The COVID-19 test positivity rate fell to 3.6% statewide on Monday, decreasing in two regions that have faced increased economic restrictions due to high rates. The positivity rate decreased 0.3 of a percentage point since Friday, as the state reported an average of 46,477 test results and 1,652 new cases each day between Saturday and Monday. That made for a three-day positivity rate of about 3.6%. The seven-day rolling positivity rate average is as low as it's been since July 25th, while Region 7 and Region 4 of the state's reopening plan each saw decreases to their positivity rate as of Friday, September 11th. Region 7, which includes Will and Kankakee counties, saw the seven-day average positivity rate decrease to 7.2%, which is still above the 6.5% threshold that will allow the rollback of some economic restrictions. Currently, the region is closed to indoor dining and bar services at restaurants and bars. Region 4, which includes the Metro East area on the Missouri River near St. Louis, saw its rolling positivity rate decrease to 9.4%, marking three straight days of decreases. Other regions range from 2.4% in eastern Illinois to 6.7% in Region 9, which includes McHenry and Lake counties in northern Illinois. Turning to national news, from the front page we have Trump doubts climate firelink. Governor briefs him on wildfires during visit to California. This is by Jonathan Lemire, Amir Madani, Will Weissert, and Ellen Nickmeyer with the Associated Press. With the smell of California wildfires in the air, President Donald Trump on Monday ignored the scientific consensus that climate change is playing a central role in historic West Coast infernos and renewed his unfounded claim that failure to rake forest floors and clear dead timber is mostly to blame. The fires are threatening to become another front in Trump's re-election bid, which is already facing hurdles because of the coronavirus pandemic, joblessness, and social unrest. His Democratic challenger, Joe Biden, in his own speech on Monday, said the destruction and mounting death toll across California, Oregon, and Washington require stronger presidential leadership, and he labeled Trump a, quote, climate arsonist, unquote. Trump traveled to Northern California to be briefed by Democratic Governor Gavin Newsom and other state and federal officials. At one point, State Natural Resources Agency Secretary Wade Crowfoot urged the president to, quote, recognize the changing climate and what it means to our forests, close quote. If we ignore that science and sort of put our head in the sand and think it's all about vegetation management, we're not going to succeed together protecting Californians, Crowfoot said. Trump responded, "It will start getting cooler, just you watch." Crowfoot politely pushed back that he wished the science agreed with the president. Trump countered, "I don't think science knows, actually." That striking moment came on a day of dueling campaign events, with Trump and Biden dramatically contrasting their outlooks on climate change and the impact it has had on the record-setting fires ravaging the West Coast. Trump's suggestion that the planet is going to start to unexpectedly cool is at odds with reality, experts say. Maybe there is a parallel universe where a pot on the stove with the burner turned to high starts getting cooler, but that is not our universe, said Stanford University climate scientist Chris Field. Biden lashed at Trump, saying the moment requires leadership, not scapegoating, and that it's clear we are not safe in Donald Trump's America. "This is another crisis he won't take responsibility for," Biden said. He said that if voters give a climate denier another 4 years in the White House, why would we be surprised that we have more of America ablaze? Trump, who was briefed during a stop near Sacramento before a campaign visit to Phoenix, had been mostly quiet as the catastrophe on the West Coast has unfolded over the past few weeks. He treated appreciation of firefighters and emergency responders on Friday, the first public comments he had made in weeks about the fires that have killed dozens, burned millions of acres, and forced thousands from their homes. Next, we have hurricane menaces Gulf Coast. Five tropical cyclones swirling in Atlantic during busy season, by Stacy Plaisance and Janet McConaughey. Hurricane Sally, one of four storms churning simultaneously in the Atlantic, closed in on the Gulf Coast on Monday with rapidly strengthening winds of at least 100 miles per hour and a potential for up to 2 feet of rain that could bring severe flooding. The storm was on a track to brush by the southeastern tip of Louisiana and then blow ashore late Tuesday or early Wednesday near the Mississippi-Alabama state line for what could be a long, slow, and ruinous drenching. Storm-weary Gulf Coast residents rushed to buy bottled water and other supplies ahead of the hurricane, which powered up to a Category 2 in the afternoon. Forecasters said sustained winds could reach 110 miles per hour by landfall. "This is the real deal, and it deserves your attention," Mississippi Governor Tate Reeves wrote on Twitter shortly after the storm was upgraded. He urged people in low-lying areas to prepare to evacuate. "Be smart. Prepare for the worst. Pray for the best," he said. Seawater and sand swept onto roads on one end of Dauphin Island off the coast of Alabama, washing away several cars, Dauphin Island Mayor Jeff Collier said. He said about a dozen people had to be evacuated by Humvee. Sally has lots of company during what has become one of the busiest hurricanes in history, so busy that forecasters have almost run through the alphabet of names with 2.5 months still to go. For only the second time on record, forecasters said five tropical cyclones swirled simultaneously in the Atlantic Basin at one point on Monday. The last time that happened was in 1971. The storm's forecast track was nudged east Monday afternoon, but much of southeast Louisiana remained under a hurricane warning. Storm surge warnings stretched from Port Fourchon in Louisiana to the line between Okaloosa and Walton counties in Florida. This concludes the first part of the Pantograph for Tuesday, September 15th, 2020. I'm Janice Schweizer, and I'll return shortly with the second half.